Whew. Got a little. On. There we go. All right. Genesis. We'll jump right in this evening. Genesis. This is a good, it would be a good object lesson for a children's church or doing something with the kids. It is the ark as it pictures or similarities between the ark and Jesus Christ. Since we're in Genesis here, this will be the last thing we'd say about the flood here. We've been on the flood for a while. But there are several similarities, and I remember one time when we were teaching children's church, we built an ark and brought it to the children's church, and we looked at it and examined it, and I preached some of these things, but not all of them, and some variation of this message. But it's great to see a picture or a resemblance of Noah's Ark, and then get to talk about the similarities between it and Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to talk about this evening. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14, and there's several of them, and I may, you know, not do all these, just do a few of them, and we'll see how this goes with time. But I encourage you, if you do anything with the kids or have any plans, or it's a great object lesson that can be used to just show some descriptions and some characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ based on Noah's Ark. All right, so Genesis chapter 6, you know the story, we talked about it several weeks in a row. God's going to send a flood, and you know, we did this so in Corpus at church. We built the new building there, and we were painting the nursery, and we painted, you know, Noah's Ark on the painted Noah's Ark on the nursery walls and everything. And I made some comment, and I'm like, when did anyone ever think this was a children's story? This is like mass death and destruction. This is not even like, this is not just a feel-good story. This is horrible what happened. But anyway, we painted a nice little Noah, and he's all happy and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and the giraffes, and everybody's happy, and they're getting on the ark and everything. It's so fun and all that. And then if you're on the ark, it's so fun. But if you're not on the ark, it's not very fun. So... Oh man. So here's a few things about Jesus Christ and how the ark typifies Jesus Christ. First thing, I tell you what, we'll pray and then we'll get right into it. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. Just see a good picture of Jesus Christ in this ark. You made provision for the wrath of God, and you've done the same thing in Jesus Christ, but you did it back here with Noah and gave a description and just several things here that remind us of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd bless each soul that's here this evening, and those that are watching, pray you'd bless them as well. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the first thing that is the similarity between the ark and Jesus Christ, he says in verse 14, the Lord says to Noah, Genesis 6:14, he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. And the reason he says that is because God's about to send his judgment on the earth, and this is going to be the provision to survive the wrath of God. This is the provision. And whoever's going to get on the ark, they will live, and whoever's not on the ark, they won't live. And so the first thing you see in the ark, it is the grace of God that comes through. And the thing that provides the grace of God is this ark. Just like Jesus Christ, grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. And so God makes provision in this ark to avoid and to survive the wrath of God. And so as God is going to judge the earth, or judge the world, I should say, he's going to judge the world, but he's also going to at the same time make provision for his judgment, just like he does in Jesus Christ. So the ark is like Jesus Christ in that it is the grace of God. When the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of God, this was a very specific thing that was part of that grace, was he got blueprints to this ark. Second thing is, the ark was apparently, it wasn't built in secret. It was built out in the open. And I don't know how you would hide it, but it was built out in the open. And the Bible talks about Jesus Christ and his name going throughout all the earth and being very public. And he says over there in Titus chapter 2:11, and I'm just going to throw these things out to you, and you don't have to turn to all these verses because there's several of these typologies or types here and parallels here. But in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "The grace of God which hath appeared unto all men." And it talks about Noah being a preacher of righteousness. And so for 120 years, apparently he's building the ark and people see it. They just don't bother with why he's even building it. It doesn't really even cross their mind that it has any value at all. And so the ark is not, it's not hidden, it's open. And so the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is public, and Jesus Christ is very public. He says over there, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me," and it's very public. The ark was very public. And here's another thing that's really neat in verse 14, back over here in Genesis 6:14. The Bible says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Do you have any idea why they would pitch it within and without with pitch? Yeah, so it'd be waterproof. So it would be sealed. It's sealed. So whoever is in the ark is in a sealed vessel. Just like in Jesus Christ. We'll look at this one. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. A verse you're probably very familiar with. "But the ark was sealed, just like a person who is in Jesus Christ is sealed." It says over here in Ephesians 4:30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So it's a great verse on eternal security and the fact that Jesus Christ doesn't lose anybody that's in him. And the ark was the same way. If you got on the ark, you survived the flood. If you were on the ark, you survived the flood. If you were off the ark, you didn't survive the flood. So it was pitched within, without with pitch. It's sealed. This is how no water obviously gets into the ark. But I imagine it was a very violent thing when the water started coming up. Just incredible rate of water level rising we talked about. So it's pitched within, without with pitch. Verse 15, he says in Genesis 6:15, "This is the fashion which thou shalt make of it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." So this thing is the quintessential black box. This is the thing. It is a rectangular thing that is sealed within and without. It's just on the outside, probably just a black box. And it calls to mind a description of Jesus Christ. The thing that God used it with Noah's day to survive the flood wasn't a beautiful thing. It wasn't ornate. Didn't have a whole bunch of just carvings and stuff on it. When God told Noah how to build this thing, he just, here's a box. You make this thing, you seal it, and there's nothing in it that is beautiful, so to speak. There's nothing in it that made it pretty, because the point of it was not to be pretty. The point of it was to survive the wrath of God. And the same way with Jesus Christ. You read over there in Isaiah chapter 53, where it says that there's no beauty in him that we should behold him. There's no comeliness. There's nothing. There's no physical attributes about Jesus Christ that made him attractive to people. It was his spirit that made him attractive to people. It was God manifest in the flesh that made him attractive to those that were attracted to him. But it wasn't a physical appearance that made him attractive to people. He wasn't a Hollywood celebrity by any means, or he didn't have any looks that would make people want to flock to him and just fawn over him and all that kind of stuff. And that's because that wasn't the purpose of Jesus Christ. That's not the purpose of the body that was formed for him. So the fashion of the ark, it's not beautiful. It was a vessel that was made to bear the wrath of God. And Jesus Christ wasn't made to be beautiful. He was made to bear the wrath of God on sin. And so, even to this day, he's still got scars from crucifixion. To this day, he's got those scars, and have those things forever. But nothing beautiful about the ark. Nothing beautiful about Jesus Christ, because that wasn't the purpose. It wasn't the purpose to be beautiful. The purpose was to survive the wrath of God and to save sinners and to save souls, is what it was. So here's another one. If you got in the ark, we said it a while ago, but if you got into the ark, you survived. If you didn't get in the ark, you didn't survive. So everyone that got in the ark, just like in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Here it is in verse 18. It says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive. You see, that phrase shows up three times in the next few verses. And the purpose is to keep them alive. With thee they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of every cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come into thee to keep them alive. So in the ark, there's life. In Jesus Christ, there's life. Outside of the ark, death. Outside of the ark, outside of Jesus Christ, death. Here's another one. Verse 21. It says, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. So inside the ark, there's sustenance, there's satisfaction, there's provision made inside the ark. Just like in Jesus Christ, there's provision made. And so inside the ark, there's provision made. So you got a similarity there. Look in verse 1 of chapter 7. You enter by invitation. It says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. All right, so there's an invitation to come in the ark, just like there's an invitation to Jesus Christ, to come into, to receive Jesus Christ. You got the invitation. Here's another one. There's several of these. I'm going to cut it short here because I got so many of these things. The ark had to be lifted up, just like Jesus Christ, be lifted up. Look in chapter 7, verse 17. Genesis 7:17. The flood was 40 days upon the earth, And the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. So the manner of salvation was to be lifted up. All right, so just like Jesus Christ, he's lifted up. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw them into me. And so the ark had to be lifted up in order to save people. And so just like Jesus Christ, he's lifted up to save people. Here's another one. We kind of covered this one, but it bears repeating. The ark is the only, in this time with the flood, the ark is the only means of salvation. Just like Jesus Christ, the only means of salvation. There's no other means of salvation. And you know that verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. In fact, I'll just read it to you. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Same thing with the ark. There's no other means of salvation in the flood there. Let's see. There's a couple more here I'll give you that's kind of interesting. Look over in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4. I'm just throwing a lot of these out there, so like I said, if you ever wanted to, I mean, it's a great object lesson to just go through this and you teach kids about Jesus Christ using the ark here. Genesis chapter 8, verse 4 says, and the ark rested on the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. That's kind of interesting, the days there, the months and the days. You'll find out that when the ark rested, it coordinates and corresponds to the same day Jesus Christ, 3 days, three nights in the tomb, and then on the fourth day he is resurrected and ascends up into heaven, and his work as far as taking care of sin for souls is done in that sense there. Let's see. Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. I'll give you one more real quick. The ark rested on the seventh day. We just read that. And on the month, the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So at this point, the ark has done its work. It's done. It has survived the wrath of God, and the work is for this boat here is done. And Jesus Christ, here's what it says about Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11, real quick. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father, and he has done the work is complete as far as offering righteousness to sinners and purging sin. And just like the ark, it rested and it was completed. The work is done. But there's several things. I got 2 pages of all this. We could just keep going and going with several things. But I'll just leave it with that. And if you want the notes, I'll give you the notes. But it's a great object lesson. I mean, if you, like I said, teach kids or do children's church or something like that, we did it one time. We took the ark, we built that ark, and just corresponded these several things about Jesus Christ and the ark that are similarities. And it's a great type of Jesus Christ. It really is. It's a great type of Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God. It wasn't pretty in any way. It just was made to survive the wrath of God. Everybody in it lived. And if you were in it, you lived. And if you were outside of it, you didn't live. And if you were in it, you were sealed. And there was provision on the ark. There was food. There was water. There was everything that everybody needed to survive was in the ark. And God made a covenant with those in the ark. He makes a covenant in Jesus Christ and those that are in Jesus Christ. People were invited to come in the ark. And when they got in, they're sealed. God shuts the door and all that kind of thing. And so just like in Jesus Christ, great picture of the work of Jesus Christ, a great picture of even eternal security, a great picture of salvation and the grace of God, the mercy of God. And so with all that said, I tell you what, I mean, we'll pray. But I wanted to go over this with you and let you see a few of these things that are just a great type of Jesus Christ here in the Old Testament. Because he's all over the Old Testament. He's literally all over the Old Testament. But let's pray and we'll get out of here. It'll be a short night tonight. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful. And thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you'd bless everybody for being here and we'd be able to magnify Jesus Christ. And thank you for your words and thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.